From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id. Listener, here's the news read by Steve. First, the headlines. Indonesia agrees to strengthen bilateral relations with Philippines. Minister Sandiaga Uno affirms ecotourism concept can be developed in the Nusantara new capital. And here is the news in detail. The Indonesian government strengthens bilateral relations with the Philippines in the field of economy, politics, and regional security in the momentum of 75 years of diplomatic relations of both countries. This was pointed out by President Joko Widodo during a state visit to Philippines. When delivering a speech along with the Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. in Manila Wednesday, President Joko Widodo also said that both countries agreed to strengthen border cooperation, revision of border patrol agreements, cross-border agreements, and settlement of continental shift boundaries, and foster defense cooperation, including the main equipment of weaponry system.
Terkait kawasan, kami sepakat pentingnya
related to the region, both countries agreed on the importance of strengthening ASEAN unity and centrality, which isn't just a jargon. ASEAN must continuously adhere to principles of international law and maintain a positive post for peace, stability, and prosperity. Meanwhile, in the economic sector, both countries also agreed on opening market access to increase trade. Moreover, President Joko Widodo also appreciated the Philippines' trust in Indonesian state-owned enterprises in building important infrastructure in the Philippines, including the North-South Commuter Train Project. President Joko Widodo's visit to the Philippines is a part of a state visit to three ASEAN countries, including Vietnam and Brunei Darussalam, from the 9th until the 14th of January 2024. Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno has pointed out that President Joko Widodo has carried out groundbreaking projects in the ecotourism and creative economy sector, particularly for accommodation in the Nusantara new capital with an investment value worth up to 20 million rupees. Minister Sandiaga Uno said at a weekly brief with Sandi Uno in Jakarta on Wednesday that his side will use the concept of ecotourism in developing tourism potential in the Nusantara new capital, North Penajam Pasir Regency, East Kalimantan. He remarked that the concept of ecotourism is very suitable to be developed in the Nusantara new capital because it maintains the environment and still protects forest areas.
Dan konsep ecotourism ini cocok sekali.
This ecotourism concept is very suitable for Nusantara new capital because it protects the environment and it will not reduce the commitment to protecting forest areas, which are guaranteed to be maintained by 75% of tropical forests and 25% are newly built as part of the facilities. Meanwhile, Deputy for Social, Cultural and Community Empowerment, Nusantara Capital Authority, Ali Mudin, has revealed that the progress of physical development in the new capital project has reached 70%. The Nusantara Capital Authority will reschedule the groundbreaking for the four-phase project in East Kalimantan on January 18, 2024. Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno held a meeting with Dubai investors and entrepreneurs during his working visit to the United Arab Emirates on January 4th until 5th, 2023. At a weekly brief with Sandiaga Uno Wednesday in Jakarta, he said that Indonesia will become a magnet for Dubai investors to invest their capital in some sectors, including tourism and creative economy, because Indonesia is considered to have good economy and easy access provided by the Indonesian government so far. When meeting with Dubai investors, Minister Sandiaga also offered the Golden Visa program and special economic zones for investment in the tourism and creative economy sector.
Menparekraf juga menawarkan program Golden Visa.
The Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy also offers a Golden Visa program and also several special economic zones that have been formed to accommodate investment interest in the tourism and creative economy sectors. Furthermore, Minister Sandiaga has also said that Dubai investors are also interested in developing property projects in Indonesia, particularly in the new capital city. According to Minister Sandi, the government must move together and collaborate to develop all investment potential. Philippines President Bongbong Marcos acknowledged Indonesia's contribution to peace and development in the southern region of Philippines, which was previously hit by conflict with armed groups. In a joint press conference with President Joko Widodo at Malacanang Palace, President Bongbong Marcos hoped Indonesia could continue to help the Philippines to build local government institutions, particularly in the Bangsamoro Autonomous Region.
So today we also recognize Indonesia's contribution to peace and development in the southern Philippines. As Mindanao continues to reap the dividends of peace and democracy, we hope that Indonesia will continue to extend its helping hand to building the institutions of local government, particularly in the Bangsamoro Autonomous Region.
On that occasion, President Bongbong Marcos further explained that he and President Joko Widodo also discussed regional events of mutual interest, such as development in the South China Sea and ASEAN cooperation. President Marcos also stated that the Philippines and Indonesia urge all compliance with the universality of UN Convention of Law of the Sea, or UNCLOS, which regulates all activities in the seas and oceans. Moreover, both heads of state also signed a memorandum of understanding in the energy sector. President Marcos conveyed that another memorandum of understanding related to science and technology has almost finished. The United Nations Security Council Wednesday approved a resolution calling on Houthi rebel groups to cease its brazen attack in the Red Sea, as the United States and Britain hinted at military strikes. As reported by CNN.com, the warnings come as the Iran-backed militants continue a week-long campaign to launch drones and missiles at vessels in the commercially vital shipping lane, which they say are revenge against Israel for its military campaign in Gaza. The United Nations Security Council vote was 11 in favor, 0 against, and 4 abstentions, including Russia and China. Deputy Prime Minister Tran Luc Quang said Vietnam wants to enhance cooperation with India in general and Gujarat State in particular, and is ready to facilitate conditions for major Indian firms to increase investment and establish long-term cooperation in the country. As reported by VOBWord.vn, Mr. Quang was speaking at the 10th Vibrant Gujarat Global Summit, held in the state of Gujarat, India on Wednesday. The summit is organized biennially to connect businesses, share knowledge, and establish strategic partnership for comprehensive growth and sustainable development. And listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Oh, Indonesian Ambassador to China and Mongolia, Johari Oratmangun, said that the My Story with China video competition could help realize the joint ASEAN-China vision. He conveyed it when he was one of the key speakers at the announcement of the My Story with China video competition for ASEAN international students in Beijing, Tianjin, and Hebei, hosted by Tianjin Normal University last Saturday, January 6. According to Ambassador Johari, relations between ASEAN and China have become closer, with the increase in status as part of a comprehensive strategic partnership since 2 years ago. Trade between ASEAN and China has increased over the past 4 years. ASEAN and China are the largest trading partners in the world, and two parties also carried out investment cooperation. Ambassador Johari believes that if ASEAN's third pillar, namely people-to-people cooperation, is strengthened, relations between ASEAN and China will become stronger in the years to come. Meanwhile, Director General of the Chinese Ministry of Education Center for Language Education and Cooperation, Ma Jianfei, at the same event emphasized the importance of China-ASEAN relations and the important role of youth in promoting cultural exchange. He also encouraged collaboration to support more ASEAN young people to share stories while learning Mandarin. The video competition with the theme My Story with China was held by the Center for Language Education and Cooperation and the ASEAN-China Center, supported by the International Society for Chinese Language Teaching, China Education Press, China Education International Exchange Associate, and the Beijing Tianjin Hebei Education Committees. There were 306 videos received by the committee over 8 months and involving more than 3,000 students and lecturers, as well as 62 organizations. The winners were selected through online voting, which reached 20,000 votes. A number of Indonesian students became winners in the Youth Talents category, namely Clarissa and Tiffany, from the Tianjin Conservatory of Music campus. They perform a piano duet, Wulida Fitri. Students from Beijing Normal University won in the Stars of Style category. Meanwhile, Gilbert Lee and his friends from Hebei Normal University won in the Star of Future category for singing the song Haiji De Ta Cheng Shuo, Remember When He Said.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we begin today in history with an event on 11th January 1962. Mount Huascharan ice avalanche tragedy occurred, killing 4,000 people. On January 11th, 1962, a powerful ice and snow avalanche occurred on Mount Huascharan, Peru. While most of the people in the area were gathering in their homes for dinner, the edge of Mount Huascharan's giant glacier at night suddenly broke and collapsed. The avalanche swept away the residents below. The towns of Ranrahirca and Huarascucho were buried under the ice. Around 4,000 people were assumed to have died in the avalanche, but the exact number has never been known. We move to the next event in 1922. Insulin was first used for treatment. On 11th January 1962, insulin was firstly used in the treatment of diabetes. Insulin was discovered by Sir Frederick Grant Banting, Charles H. Bass, and J.J.R. Maslott at the University of Toronto in 1921. Before 1921, people with type 1 diabetes could not live more than 2 years. One of the greatest medical discoveries of the 20th century remains the only effective treatment for people with type 1 diabetes today. Insulin has been proven to help people with diabetes mellitus. We end today in history with an event on January 11th about International Thank You Day. International Thank You Day is celebrated every year on 11th January. This day is a reminder of the importance of being grateful to people in the surrounding environment, especially to those who have contributed or done something. It is not unknown the initiator of the day and when the day is firstly celebrated. International Thank You Day was celebrated by several greeting card companies to promote the sales of their cards. Until now, International Thank You Day is still celebrated in various parts of the world every January 11th. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's My Indonesia focuses on BRIN develops new variety of sweet sorghum for bioethanol. The National Research and Innovation Agency, or BRIN, has developed a new variety of sweet sorghum that contains high sugar for making the low-emission fuel bioethanol. BRIN's Head for Food Plant Research Center, Yudhistira Nugraha, in Jakarta on Monday conveyed that his agency aims to make the new variety containing BRIX more than 20%. He further said that currently there are two sorghum varieties in the market, namely Super One and Bio Guma, which contain 15-18% BRIX. These two old varieties of the Agriculture Ministry have small stems, making it fragile. Meanwhile, the new variety has around 20% BRIX, big stem, and immunity against rotting mid-drip disease. The research projects on the new sorghum variety by BRIN are located in Gorontalo and Maros, Sulawesi. In the two regions, there are some 50 breeding lines for sweet sorghum pre-test. The lines are selected and tested bred plants with top quality according to the breeding goal, namely uniform and stable, but not yet released as a new variety. From 50 lines, some have 20% sugar, and 10 lines have been evaluated for an advanced result data test. BRIN collaborates with private companies in developing the new sweet sorghum variety. The private company cooperates with the Japanese company to build a bioethanol factory in Gorontalo. The yield of the new sweet sorghum variety is sweet juice and biomass as low carbon fuel. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Bagaimana dengan aku You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Sate is one of a variety of Indonesian culinary delights that is easy to find in various regions in the country. Sate is made from chicken, goat meat, or beef that is cut into small pieces and skewered with bamboo sticks, then grilled using wood charcoal. Usually, sate is served with peanut sauce. While sate is generally made from meat, in Serang, Banten, there is sate made from milkfish. The sate is widely known as sate bandeng or milkfish sate. Like satays in general, sate bandeng also uses bamboo skewers as its identity. The distinctive feature is that there is whole milkfish meat that is stuck into the bamboo, but the meat is boneless. It is very tasty and rich in spices. It is not difficult to find sate bandeng in the Banten area. The price of one satay is 45,000 rupiah, or about $3, with a choice of spicy and original flavors. According to a story, sate bandeng was present when a sultan wanted to eat milkfish. However, the royal chef was confused because the fish had many fine spines and was dangerous if processed directly. Finally, the chef took the initiative to crush the flesh of the fish and pull out the bones and spines first. Then, the milkfish meat was mashed and filtered to separate the hard bones and spines. This finely ground meat is mixed with spices as a dough before being put into a bamboo and grilled until cooked. This new dish turned out to be liked by the Sultan and other high-ranking officials. Finally, sate bandeng became one of the obligatory foods of the Banten people at that time and continued to be passed down to this day. As time went by, the sate was not only enjoyed by the nobility.
Perjalanan membawamu bertemu denganku, ku bertemu kamu. Sepertimu yang ku cari, konon aku juga seperti yang kau cari. Ku kira kita asam dan garam, dan kita bertemu di belanga. Kisah yang ternyata tak seindah itu. Kukira kita akan bersama, begitu banyak yang sama, latarmu dan latarku. Kukira takkan ada kendala, kukira ini kan mudah kalau ku jadi kita. Kasih sayangmu membekas, redam kini sudah pijar istimewa. Entah apa maksud dunia tentang ujung cerita kita tak bersama. Semoga rindu ini menghilang, konon katanya waktu sembuhkan. Akan adakah lagi yang sepertimu? Kukira kita akan sama. Begitu banyak yang sama, latarmu dan latarku. Kukira takkan ada kendala, kukira ini kan mudah, kau aku jadi kita. Kau melanjutkan perjalananmu, ku melanjutkan perjalananku. Kukira kita akan bersama, sama latarmu dan latarku. Kukira takkan ada kendala, kukira ini kan mudah, kau aku jadi kita. Kukira kita akan bersama. Jalan
listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kilohertz and voinews.id.
Dear listeners, today's edition of Miscellany is entitled Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Develops Recirculating Aquaculture System, a water recycling system that can be monitored from a smartphone. Listeners, the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries through the Human Resources Extensions and Development Agency, Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, has succeeded in developing a recirculating aquaculture system, or recirculating Surikandi tilapia cultivation system based on the Internet of Things. Head of the agency, Inyoman Radiarta, said, RAS is a technology that processes the recycling of cultivation water for reuse. The development of this technology has been connected to the Android operating system, making it easier to control the quality of cultivation water. Inyoman Radiarta said in a press release Monday that the recirculating aquaculture system prioritizes an effective and efficient cultivation system to produce superior Surikandi tilapia. Inyoman added that currently his party has succeeded in combining the use of fresh technology based on the Internet of Things, or IoT. IoT Surikandi tilapia is an innovation based on wireless communication technology that connects to measure the water quality parameters of Surikandi tilapia cultivations at the cultivation locations. Furthermore, Newman said Surikandi tilapia IoT processes data from cultivation water quality sensors sent via the server. Then the data is displayed on the smartphone through a graphical representations and dashboard of Surikandi tilapia cultivation water quality. This technology will make it easier for farmers to control water quality, which is an important instrument in cultivating Surikandi tilapia. Meanwhile, the head of the Sukamandi Fish Breeding Research Institute, Agus Cahyadi, hopes that the innovation produced by his party can simplify the Sri Kandi tilapia cultivation process carried out at the Sukamandi Institute. Apart from that, Agus hopes that this innovation can be applied in other places. For information, Sri Kandi tilapia or salinity resistance improvement of tilapia from Sukamandi is one of the Human Resources Extensions and Development Agency's superior commodities. Sri Kandi tilapia is a superior fish resulting from ras breeding and technology using cultivation water at a salinity of 10 to 15 parts per thousand. That was Miscellany for today's editions. I'll see you.
Panggil ibu sementara aku ayah. Bertukar cerita hingga lelap mata. Lalu datang pagi kau memasak, ku bekerja.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today's edition of Music Corner, I will present to you Iwake. Iwake is the pioneer of rap music in Indonesia. He has been a rapper since 1980s, but he introduced rap music in the country around 90s. Iwake debuted with the Ku Ingin Kembali or I Wanna Go Back album in 1993. Iwake had been known among new rap enthusiasts with the album. Yet his fame soared with the second album in 1994. The album entitled Topeng or Mask has one of the top hits called Bebas or Free. Just like the title, the song made by Iwake wanted to share the energy and remind the people to stop overthinking. The song Bebas is now available on streaming sites and still one of the recommended best songs of Indonesia. Here is Iwake with Bebas.
Suara canda tawa dan senyum puas berteman siraman hujan di lapang yang luas tak gentar gelegar petir yang mengaum buas yang penting semua senang kawan sejak kehadiran bumi terkekeh riang gadaku berdentang didi didi dom didi dom dega dega daga digi du.
Voice of Indonesia.
Lampu-lampu mulai menunjukkan kekuatan. kelihatannya menyinari di setiap kehidupan kota. Dan warna-warna terlihat di jalan sana, menerangi setiap sudut-sudut di kota. Orang-orang banyak yang berlalu lalang untuk mendapatkan atau mencari uang hiburan. Dan apa saja yang bisa kita lakukan untuk menikmati malam yang begitu menantang. Otak pusing, janganlah kau rasakan. Badan tegal, mari kita hilangkan. Karena malam ini terasa sangat indah, membuat siapa saja tak akan bisa diam di rumah. Nonton TV atau nonton apa saja, sama teman atau sama elak-elaknya. Ku tak peduli dan memikirkannya, lebih baik ku juga menikmatinya. Karena waktu yang sangat tepat untuk keluar dari rumah dan pergi mengikuti kaki ini melangkah. Melangkah terus entah kemana.
Aku jajaki jalan demi jalan untuk merasakan hangatnya hingga ku terduduk.
Karena semua orang sedang bergembira dan ku tak tahan cuma melihat saja.
Satu-satu mereka bertemu, lalu mereka pergi dan berlalu.
Ke disco. Karena malam ini malam yang indah, bersama teman-temanku ku bercanda dan tertawa bebas lepas.
Malam ini indah dengan warna yang menghiasi sudut kota. Malam ini indah dengan cahaya yang selalu menerangi sudut kota.
Meriah di mana-mana karena semua orang sedang bergembira merayakan apapun untuk mengisi malam indah ini. Musik-musik mulai berisik, mengusik-usik, mengajak kita untuk segera bergoyang.
Asik, asik, asik. LCD, kaset dan TV
yang selalu menemani kita sedih pun mengeluarkan keajaiban. Membuat semua orang jadi senang dan takkan dia mengganggu orang yang tenang, agar semuanya jadi tertawa riang. Karena malam ini terasa sangat indah, membuat orang sedih jadi bergairah.
Malam ini indah dengan warna yang selalu menghiasi sudut kota. Malam ini indah dengan cahaya yang selalu menerangi sudut kota. Malam ini indah dengan warna yang selalu menghiasi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hari-hari terus berganti, melalui gelapnya malam, terangnya pagi. 2 tahun di dalam sepi, tetap mengharapkan dirimu kembali. Ku tahu ku takkan pernah dapat berlari dari bayang-bayangmu, oh kekasih. Anganku terbang menerawang jauh, mengarungi kenangan indah bersamamu.
Selama mentari bersinar,
hari-hari sepi tanpa dirimu. Tanpa dirimu, ku ingin kembali bersamamu.
Dalam degapan hangatmu,
hitam takkan pernah jadi putih jika ku mengingat apa yang terjadi. Kita
cinta yang padamkan bara asmara kita. Semua nada cinta yang pernah ada. Maafkanlah kasih, maafkan diriku. Telah membuat hari-harimu kelabu. Masihkah ada pintu yang terbuka untuk mengulangi lagi segalanya?
Selama mentari bersinar,
hari-hari sepi tanpa dirimu.
Ku akan berharap kasih ini tiada pudar. Selama waktu di sisiku,
hari-hari sepi tanpa dirimu. Bersamamu
dalam degapan hangatmu.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.